The 67, Tazria has 67 psukim. Just not your Bina. Also not your Elul. And then Mitzora has 90 psukim. One less than last week's parsha. Alright, so the Shabbos will read 157 psukim in Yirtzeh Hashem. Tazria Mitzora. But Chaver, what is Chus? No, what is Chus? We're sitting here in Washington Heights, New York, in the year Tavshin Pei Gimel, 2023. And we're learning the Torah of Kolonimus Kalmish Halevi Epstein, student of the Noam Elimelech. You notice how wild that is? It's like remember that once in a while, you know? That's really nuts. Ashrinu Matov Chalkenu. Alright, let's try the first piece on the Parsha. It gets a little bit abstract, but let's see if we can get most of it. I don't feel that I have shot in the whole thing, but maybe together we can get it. We'll see one other very small piece in Tazria, and then he only has one piece on Mitzora, which is a very important piece. Okay, so let's start with Tazria. Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe lemor isha ki Tazria. Okay, the parsha, of course, begins with a woman who gave birth. Isha ki Tazria, when a woman gives birth. And depending on whether or not it's a male child or a female child, she will go through a period of tumah. And then she'll go through a period of tahara, right? Even though she may still be seeing blood. There's a concept, at least according to the Torah, we don't have this nowadays. We don't practice this way. The Jewish women decided to be very strict about any type of blood, that they treat blood very seriously, and they treat it with the most severe level of nida. But in the Torah talks about yimei tahara, a period of days where she's able to, even if she continues to see blood, it's not menstrual blood, right? And she would not be considered tamei. Again, we don't practice it exactly like this nowadays. But the Torah describes that if it's a male child, then she's tamei for 7 days. And then, of course, on the 8th day, the child gets a bris. And then for 33 days, following those 7 days, the woman is in a state of purity, again, even if she sees blood. And then for a female child, the Torah says that it's 14 days, right? 2 weeks of Tumah, followed by 66 days of Dmei Tahara. Interesting. You see the Torah sensitivity. I want to make sure the mom can go to the bris comfortably. So maybe that's part of the distinction between the boys and the girls. All right, we'll have to figure it all out. But be it as it may, says Rashi, quoted here by our Rebbe, the Mor of Hashemesh, Amar Rebbe Simloi, on the words Isha Kisazriya, Perish Rashi, Amar Rabbi Simlai taught, Kishem, she yitziroso shel Adam, achar kol behema chayavov. Just like by the 6 days of creation, man was created last, after Hashem created every animal, and every chaya, every beast, and every oaf, and every bird. B'maisa bereshis. So kach toroso nisparsha achar toros behema chayavov. So too, just like in last week's parsha, we learned about the kosher signs of animals and birds, even fish. Right? So too, just like the creatures were created before man, so too the Torah and Shmini taught us the halachos of animals, and now it teaches us the halachos of people. So Rabbi Simlai is explaining the smichas aparshios. How do we understand the end of Parsha Shmini last week and the beginning of Parsha Tazria this week? Last week we spoke about the Tumah and Tahara of animals. Now we speak about the Tumah and Tahara of people. It says Rabbi Simlai, exactly. Just like when Hashem created the world, He first made birds and animals and creatures, and then He made Adam and Chava. He made Adam and subsequently Chava. So too. Right? So too, in the Torah presents the halachos. It presents the halachos of animals and birds first, and then it presents the halachos of an Isha Kisazriya, the Tumah and Tahara of a woman who gave birth. Okay. Very interesting. Interesting, Rashi. Yesh lomar bekitzur. So says the Mor v'Shemesh. We can explain bekitzur. Hine Isa b'medrash. Isha ki sazria. On the pasuk Isha ki sazria, there's a very famous medrash. A lot has been written about this medrash. Hadahu dechsev achor v'kedem tzartani. Achor, David HaMelech said, achor v'kedem tzartani. Backwards and forwards, from the end to the beginning, Sartani could be like a lashon of you've gathered me, you've bound me, you held me together. Right? A little bit of Mitzrayim in there, a Meitzar, something that binds, something that holds together. Amr of Yoichanan, Amr of Shmuel Bar Nachman, Bishah Shabar Kadosh Baruch Hu Adam Arishon, Androgynous Barah. Says the Medrash, at the time that Kadosh Baruch Hu created Adam, he was an androgynous. That means he had both signs of male and female genitalia. Amr Rishon ben Lakish, Bishah Shinivra, Du Partsufim Nivra. When Adam was created, he had two Partsufim. A Partsuf means a face. Adam was created, was like Siamese twins? What was he? Du Partsufim. Double faced, double appearance. The Gemara even says, Acher v'kadem Sartani was almost like Adam and Chava were created as this strange entity, this male-female combination entity. V'nisro HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'shnayim. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Nisro. HaKadosh Baruch Hu literally sawed it into two. Hashem sawed it in half. Strange. What are Chazal getting at? David Melech said, you created me front and back. Achor v'kedem, back and front. You created me male and female. You created me this strange combination of almost two entities that were then divided, a singular entity made up of two faces, which was then split into two. I always thought that Chava came from Adam's rib. I didn't know that. But apparently the Medrash, there's also a Gemara like this, that Adam and Chava maybe were created back to back. Strangely attached to each other in some unusual way. What are Chazal getting at? Now you should also realize that part of what the Midrashim discuss over here is how do I look at Adam being created after all the creatures, all the birds, all the fish? Is that a maila or is that a chisaron? So the Gemara, the Medrash says, he doesn't quote it here, but you'll see how it fits in. Achor v'kedem sartani, David HaMelech said, you created me first and you created me last. In other words, what? How do I look at Adam being created on the sixth day? Do I say, malin v'koidish v'ein moridin? It's like Hashem was building up to the grand finale. First Hashem made some smaller creations, and then Hashem said, oh, and here's my ultimate creation, Adam. So if we're worthy, we're the crown, so to speak, right? We're the culmination of this entire building process. Everything is leading towards this great moment, the grand finale when Adam is created. That's one way to look at it, if we're worthy. If we're not, you know what Hashem says to us? You're an afterthought. I created, in the words of the Medrash, again not quoted here, I created the little mosquito, I created the atush. I created a gnat before I created you. A bug was more important than you. Okay, so it's up to us to see, you know, how do we define our being created last.
Well, more important is, that's the key word.
Say again?
More important is the key word.
Right. So it's up to us to determine. Where are we in the Bria, yeah?
It's very interesting because you could, like, kind of look at it, like, as we know about, like, frogs, it says about frogs, like, that they just praise Hashem all day. That,
yeah. Yeah, a frog is a more loyal Eved Hashem than me and you. Does it mean more important? No, we're more important because we have free will. But again, if it turns out to be a good experiment, that we use our free will properly and make good choices, so then Hashem says, see, I told you. And if not, if we end up destroying with our choices, so then Hashem almost embarrassed, you know, in an embarrassing way. It's like, yeah, I feel like after I built the things that I knew would work, I figured I would just, like, experiment with this. And yeah, I could see it wasn't a great experiment. But it was an afterthought. Shabbos also. Shabbos is sof ma'aseh b'machshava t'chila. Shabbos is the ultimate goal, but Hashem saved it for less. Yeah? The Mishnah says it. B'shvili nevra olam. Person's chayev to say the world is created for me.
But at the same time, we're like,
with humility, yeah. Yeah.
It's very much like a theme in Lar's book that there's four levels of creation. There's Domim, Somea, Aya, and Adam. And as you go up the ladder, each one has a less awareness of Hashem.
Right.
And like, the inanimate objects are rocks. It's like a, I think he brought like a mind marker cook that like the rock is like so much years of Hashem, like it stays in place. It's like crying out to Hashem.
But you don't mind.
Yeah, you just can't hear it. And that even though the animals are fulfilling his will just by being.
Correct.
Right? But it's like up to us to elevate that.
Correct. Yeah, Moshe Wolfson writes in his Sefer Emunas Yitech on Parshas Bereishis, you and I have a mitzvah in the Torah, we're tefillin. That's what the Torah says to us. A bird also has a mitzvah in the Torah. It says in the Torah that the birds should fly. That's its mitzvah. When a bird flaps its wings, it's doing its mitzvah. And it does it very faithfully. Alright, let's see a little bit more. So let's keep that medrash in mind. But again, the two medrashim, the two interpretations of Chazal that he quotes for us, is that number one, Adam was created with both male and female genitalia and androgynous, right? Had both signs of being Zachar and Nekeva. And Adam was also created du partzufim, two-faced. Not two-faced in a deceptive kind of way, but with two facial appearances. And then Hashem sawed Adam in half, cut him in half. Ha'inyan b'kitzer d'mar amar chada umar amar chada v'lo pligi. Says our Rebbe, these two interpretations of achar v'kedem tzartani, you made me backwards and forwards, you made me front and back, you made me male and female, you made me with two opposing faces which were then cut in half. It's not a machlokas. This one says like this, this one says like that, v'lo pligi, and there's no machlokas. Ki Adam nivra kedei lahashpia kedusha lechol ha'olamos, ki adua tnu oz lelukim. V'hu bechinas dichar. On the one hand, man is meant to what? To be a mashpia. We're supposed to be influencers. We're supposed to be mashpia kedusha to all the worlds. The worlds are waiting to receive from us. We're not just receiving. We're being mashpia. As the pasuk says, tnu oz lelukim, which means what? David HaMelech saying what? Tenu oz le'elokim means what? Give strength to God. Help Hashem. Get involved. Don't just sit back and wait to receive from Hashem. And he says this is bechinas dichar. Dichar is just an Aramaic way of saying zachar, masculine. Masculine energy means being mashpia. The same way that, again, always the simple example, in the formation of a child, the man is mashpia his zera. The woman receives, the egg receives and becomes fertilized, and a baby is born. A baby comes from that. So the man's job is to what? Is to give over, to play more of an outward role. The woman's job is to play more of an inner role. It's chesed and gvura. Right? Masculine energy is flowing outwards. Female energy is gathering within. It's interesting. I never thought of it till just now. I don't know if what I'm about to say is correct, but it's interesting that when we talk about a woman's tumah, right, her tumah of nida is referred to in the Torah as her flow, right, her menstrual flow, which is interesting that when she's mashpia, when something is going outward from her, it creates a tumah. You know what I'm saying? It's the opposite of what the female kalach really is. The female kalach is really to be makabel. Right? Even when a woman, that's true. But when a woman brings a baby into the world, right? And that's the question the Kotzker Rebbe asked famously, and again everyone asks simply just by reading the Psukim. How could it be a child is born and that creates tuma? That was joyous, celebratory, awesome things that could possibly happen. It's one of the greatest things that could happen. It was actually in yesterday's Daf Yomi, it came up. What did it say? It says something about childbirth. And Rashi says that the creation of a child is like one of the greatest causes for a person to praise Hashem. Is there Gemara Sota lying around here now? Yeah? Awesome. I'm trying to remember what the line was. There's a great Rashi.
Oh, 2 days ago was about like baby being born upside down.
Oh, you know it? Okay.
Boys were face down, baby face up.
But it's one of the greatest, it's one of the most celebratory things. So how does it create such a tumah? Anyways, the answer is that the part of the answer is that, you know, the role of hashpa is a masculine role, and the role of being makabel is primarily a female role. Again, it's not 100% that way. Obviously, a man also has to have the koach of gvura, and that's part of what we're getting to here, right? The point of Adam being created, both zachar and the keva, is that everyone has within oneself masculine energies and feminine energies. Okay, but it says that what, that the role of a man, or role of a person in this world, let me say like that, is to be mashpia, to help Hashem, give strength to God, and that is the bechina of zachar, of dichar, which just means zachar in Hebrew and Aramaic. Dalet and Zion are interchangeable. So how would you say zahav in Aramaic?
Dahav.
Okay. Let me just read one more line and then I'll take your comment. V'yesh lo kolach lekabel hashpos tovos mikol olamos. But we're not only, chevra, we're not only held accountable to be mashpia, to generate a masculine energy in the world, to influence the world, to have a positive hashba on the world, to turn outward, right? Which, of course, the Rebbe was, the Lubavitch Rebbe was a master at turning Yiddishkeit outward, turning out towards the world, and getting involved in the world, and having a hashba in the world. But we're also, of course, with humility, receiving from Hashem, and receiving from all the worlds. Right? We're also able to be makabel, v'yesh lo koach lekabel hashpos tovos mikol olamos. We receive from the world. There's a give and take. Like it says, kamada atamar, like it says in Tehillim, lakachta matanos v'adam. To receive. To receive the gifts. V'hu b'chinas nukva. That's what we call a feminine energy. Right? To receive from the world. So we give to the world, and we receive from the world. And of course, our Rebbe is going to say, and that's why Adam was created both masculine and feminine, because every one of us has to ask ourselves, am I doing enough to have a positive hashpah in the world? And am I reaping the benefits of what this world has to offer me? Am I receiving the gifts of the world? Yeah.
Does that mean it's also a masculine trait to spread negative things into the world?
It could be. It could be, since that kalach of spreading is right is primarily a more masculine energy. It means that, I guess, that a man has... You know, the double-edged sword of having more of a negative, right? I mean, if you think about, I know I'm generalizing, but it's the truth. If you think about the biggest, most, you know, what? Yeah, the biggest Rasham of you know, world history.
Like, you can say that it's a feminism thing, but there are plenty of, like, women who are noted, like, worthy for, like, except, like, for being noble. You don't really see the opposite.
I'm saying the greatest tyrants of all time were men. Not to say that there weren't any female villains.
The great leaders. It's across the board that all big leaders throughout most history were men.
Okay. So you could say that that society created that. You could say there's a basic truth to why it emerged that way. Yes, David Zvi.
I think one have much of a chesed and
role. No, the other way around. Chesed giving out is male. Gvura is female. Right? That's why Avram is chesed, Yitzchak is gvura. Yitzchak is very withdrawn, he's very quiet. And Yitzchak, we mentioned in the past, had a female soul until the Akedah.
How is gvura?
Because gvura, real strength, is not conquering. That's Esau gvura, that's fake strength. Real strength is inner strength. Ezu gibur ha-kovesh es yitzro, self-control. That's gvura. That's real gvura. Yeah.
Why does one become tame when something comes like out of them? Not, I feel like it should be the opposite. It's not
amazing. Why is it a tuma? Right.
Like,
why is
you're getting rid of something like?
Right.
Wouldn't that be?
So it depends. Again, like any hashpa, it has to be a proper hashpa. Right. To give something over to someone else. Again, even a proper hashpa can create a tumah. That's what we're seeing. A child being born is a good thing. And yet it creates a tumah. Right? A husband and wife being intimate together also creates a tumah. Right? So why is it that things leaving the body creates a tumah? It's an interesting question. I don't know, we have to think about that a little more. Okay, let's go a little further. Is that Parish Androgynous bro? Yeah? Yeah. see the ultimate form of. Okay, I don't know. The body becomes tamei, then not right, as opposed to here. Yeah, okay. It's interesting. I don't know. We have to think about it. The relationship between body and soul, and exiting the body, entering the body. Right. Some of that comes from entering the body. Certain foods. If you eat this food, it makes you tamei. Okay, interesting. Vizel perish androgynous burrow. So that's what it means. Says the Medrash that Adam was created as an androgynous, male and female. What does it mean? It's the strange image of a half man, half woman. What was Adam created? The idea is that he was made up. Hashem says, you are the embodiment of all of reality. You have to have both of these kochos. You have to know when to give over and you have to know when to receive. You have to be male and female. And the other opinion in the Medrash that says that Adam v'chad amar du partzufim, that he had what? A dual visage, he had a double face, perish. What does that mean? V'hu b'china acheres, ki ha'odam shaholeich b'kedusha, azai hu b'chinas panim, ki yonek mipnimiyas ha'olam hanikr b'shem panim kamuvan. There's a way of a person interacting with, in a way of kedusha, of attaching himself to the, again, panim is a very interesting word. We say panim as face, the relationship between panim and pnim is fascinating. Because my panim, my face, is the outside. My pnim is my inside. But how deeply true is it that my face so often reveals what's going on the inside? You look at a person's face, why are you in a bad mood? How do you know how I'm feeling? I can see it on your face. Right? So my panim actually reveals something of my pnim. They even explain. Yeah, fine. Gvura, yeah, a little Gvura. Okay.
Did you bring up the example of
Sokhli? No. Okay, so on the one hand, panim, there's a part of a person that's very inward. But at the same time, I'm created with the possibility of what? Of being not proper, of being superficial. He's using Kabbalistic language, but it means that I'm receiving from what? From the achorayim, from the backside of the world. I'm receiving from, right? I'm receiving the energy in a wrongful way. It's like, you know, the energy flowing in the wrong way, it'll cause an electric shock, right? So the person can receive directly, can receive properly, can receive from the inner track, so to speak, of reality. Or a person could, unfortunately, right, take the scraps, the achorayim, the shirayim. Right? After all the good food has been eaten, you're scraping the bottom of the bowl trying to get something. You missed out on the main dish. Sheyesh achiza sitra achor ba'achorayim. But the sitra achor tries to grasp from the dark side, so to speak.
Is it's not necessarily like for you?
Right, it's not for you. You're taking something which isn't yours. Exactly. Exactly. You're receiving it in a way that's not meant to be received. Right? I'm kshe oref, the back of the neck. Paro ha'oref, the back. As opposed to the koach of man, we said before, is the koach to speak. The mouth, the front of the face. The front of the face is where all the proper interaction takes place. When I turn my back on someone, that's very hurtful. Right? I could try to receive from the back, so to speak. Right? The Gemara says, I learned from Rabbi Meir from sitting behind him. I would have sat face to face in Shir. And I would have been zeichet to so much more. Okay? So there's a way of receiving forward, the way of receiving backwards. And that's what David HaMelech said. Achur v'kedem tzartani. You created me with the possibility of a forward-facing relationship, Moshe Rabbeinu, panim upanim, peh upeh, right? Or there's a way of standing, so to speak, back-to-back with Hashem. Hashem still exists. I can still talk to someone if we're standing back-to-back, but it's not a proper relationship, yeah.
What's always been interesting to me is when it speaks about Moshe Rabbeinu. It talks about him seeing Hashem. It always says that he saw Hashem from the back, which is connotated as like...
Right. So there's a ra'ises achorai, right? There's a reality. If you want to see Hashem, you're only... Right? Which is very deep. The fact that the greatest glimpse that Moshe, in a sense, ever got of Hashem was from the back. Even though he always spoke to Hashem face to face. In other words, there's a certain, again, like the Zohar would say, there's a certain light that comes out of concealment. Right? There's a certain understanding that only comes from confusion. And in some ways, it's even greater than, right? Ein simcha ka taras asvekos. There's no greater joy than the resolution of a problem. Would you rather have problems and then solve them or not have any problems? Right, so many people say, I'd rather have no problems. But the truth is, when we have a difficulty and we work through it, it's much more geshmak. Right, the famous story with Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Right? Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, he used to ask me kashas. When he died, no one asked me kashas anymore. Everyone tried to bring supports. I want someone who's going to argue with me and shir. Right, that's more geshmak. Okay? So it's very interesting that Moshe Rabbeinu, right, saw the... For Isa Sacharai, Hashem says you'll perceive the back. Okay. Val derech ze nucha lefarish gam kan kafi anizker leah. So based on this, we can explain ki Adam b'shnei b'chinos hanal o b'chinas panim o b'chinas achor. When Adam was created, so to speak, with two faces, created almost as two people back to back, and Hashem cut them in half, giving us the opportunity, so to speak, to face ourselves. Or to face our other half, which could be, again, a spousal relationship. Right? It could be Adam and Chava being able to now look at each other face to face. Again, it's not just a physical facing. It's a metaphor for a healthy relationship where we're looking at each other, communicating face to face. V'isa lama nivra Adam b'shishi. So now it says the Gemara in Sanhedrin, why was Adam created on the sixth day? Says the Gemara, so that he can get right to the banquet right away. Gevaldik, Hashem says, as a schus for Adam. Right? You don't have to wait online, you get to go to the front of the line. Everything else is waiting for Shabbos. Adam, no, Shabbos is for you, so I created you right before Shabbos. Go right in, it's yours, enjoy the meal. Inami, or like I told you, Yatush Kadamach, b'maisa bereishis, or Adam, you're an afterthought, and even a Yatush. Even a little mosquito, a bug, a gnat, was created before you. So you decide, are you achar or are you kedem? Are you the sof ma'aseh b'machshava tchila? Are you the purpose of creation, but Hashem saved you as the crowning achievement, the crowning creation, right? The pinnacle of all that God's creating, and that's why man was created last? Or are you an afterthought? That's what Shabbos is, right? Shabbos is not an afterthought, Shabbos is the goal. Right? So we have to ask ourselves, am I the goal of creation? Or am I a last minute, addendum that I should, let's make an Adam also. We'll give this one a shot. Ve'emesukach. Imholech bitom b'kedusha v'yonek b'chinas kedem t'haynu b'chinas panim. If I'm a forward-facing Jew, if I'm a Jew who's drawing from the pnim, from the pnimius of the world, as I kulam nivrao b'shvilo, then a person can confidently say, b'shvili nivrao olam, and everything was created for me. And Hashem put everything in place so that He could bring me to the Suda. He could bring me to the world that's completed. Who I erases hamachshava, and then man becomes what? Man becomes the first of thoughts. As I who kodom v'kulam nivro b'shvilo kidei shiyichanes l'suda miyad. Everything was set up so that you could come to the banquet, and everything is prepared. But im chas shalom holich mu'ukal. But if a person goes through this world, and he's drawing from the achorayim. He's taking from the Sitra Achra. He always has his back towards God and towards his fellow Jews. And he walks a path that is mu'ukal, literally means? Crooked. A corrupted path. If he's walking a corrupted path, and he's yonik from the Achorayim, if he, so to speak, takes from the back end, as opposed to being the first online, if he's no longer the purpose of creation, so then Hashem says, so that's why you were created last. You are last on my list. Yatush kadamach. That even the little gnat was created before you. When a person goes in a path of holiness and he refines himself, as I call tfilaso v'torasso miskavlo m'malo. So then again, his relationship with Hashem is direct, it's straight, it's connected. And he's able to what? He's able to daven, and his Torah goes directly to Hashem, because he has that forward-facing relationship with God. Kol peirah sha'omer b'torah l'chvot shemayim, kamo shemayvin b'sichlo l'tzorach ha'olam, as I mekablam l'mal ha'taraso. His Torah is proper, it's straight, it's clear. It's what needs to be said, it's what the world needs to hear. And the world receives from him. Right? And he influences. and it's received above. Hashem is mekabel his Torah. Like it says, Kamosh Matzim, like we find in the Medrash, Alazar bini Omer. The Medrash says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sometimes quotes the sages. Oh, let me tell you a good vart that I heard, Hashem says. Here's what Rabbi Lazar said. Here's what Rabbi Meir said. It's Gevaldik, by the Paraduma, it's a Parshas Chukas. Here's what my people down below said. Hashem says, I like that vart. Let me share that with you, angels. Tell you a good vart that I heard from people down below. It's amazing. We can have a Hashem. Yeah, Avi.
When a person is not educated or doesn't know how to act in this space where the Shev is regarded as an afterthought or like an animal.
That's a good question. Right. Alright, listen, there's a degree of ignorance that Hashem is willing to forgive. Onas Rahmana Patre. A person was never given the opportunity to even know that they're a Jew, that they have the Torah. Right, but that's the challenge of knowledge, right? I once read a sefer from sefer called Sichos Kodesh from the Spinker Rebbe from Bnei Brak. So he said in there, the only real realm of knowledge that is Mechayev is Torah. In other words, I could put in all the time and energy to go to medical school, and I could decide at the last minute that I don't want to be a doctor. Nothing that obligates me to be a doctor. Maybe I'll say it was a waste of time, and it was a waste of knowledge, and it was a waste of money. Right? But if I decide at the last minute, you know what? This is not for me. And I change my major. Okay. But Torah, once you've learned the Torah idea, it's Mechayev. It's an expectation you have to live. You can't say, well, I know there's something called Shabbos, but I'm not going to keep Shabbos. You don't have that option, right? It's a very weighty responsibility. It's the only form of limud that every bit that we acquire creates responsibility. So on the one hand, ignorance is bliss. You know, if I don't know, then I don't know. At the same time, obviously no one wants to be totally ignorant. But learning is responsibility, okay? Vishar Maisyos B'Gemara Shekadosh Baruch Hu Mekayim Drashas Chachamim. And like many other stories in the Gemara, that Hashem keeps the words of the sages. Hashem fulfills the words of the sages. Okay. So this is Gevaldik. What we learned today is a Gevaldik thing. Right? We learned two very strange Midrashim, that man was created in androgynous with male and female genitalia, or man was created as this double-faced creature that was then sawed in half and made into two entities. Says our Rebbe, the Morbisham, yes, it's all one message that Hashem is saying. You have to be a mashpia and you have to be a makabel. You have to have the confidence to say, I am the crowning, I am the pinnacle, I am the purpose of creation. And at the same time, I have to have the humility to say, if I'm not careful, I become a footnote, I become an afterthought. Right? Now, this is all beautiful. Very interesting medrash. Took us right into the world of Chazal in Parshas Tazria. But now we got to go back to the Rashi that we started with. And here's where I'm not 100% sure that I know what the Morbisham Shemesh is saying. Not even sure that I'm 1% sure. So let's try it together. V'zeh kavanas perish Rashi. What did Rashi say? What's the first Rashi in Tazria? Nope. The first Rashi in Tazria is Rabbi Simlai. Why are we learning about the Tumah and Tara of a person after we learned in last week's parasha the Tumah and Tara of an animal, of birds? Because the same way that Hashem created what? Animals first and then people. So too, the Torah presents the halachos of animals first and then the halachos of people. How does that fit into this whole drusha of achor v'kedem tzartani? Hashem, you created me last and first. It's kind of up to me to choose. I have to be a little bit of both. I have to be the top. I have to be the keser that's being mashpia. I have to be the malchus that's being makabel, that's receiving at the bottom of the spheros. I have to be male and female energy all woven together. Zeu kavanas perish Rashi, kishem she yitzirasa shel adam achar kol behema, kanizkar leel. Ohu bebechinas achar, ohu bebechinas kada. Maybe saying like this: when we say, right, you read this Rashi and you're like, that's interesting. Why do the animals come before me? But maybe what Rashi is saying, what the Morbi Shemesh is reminding us, is that no, being last again, it means one of two things. It either means you're a last, you're an afterthought, or it means, no, you're the, everything's building up towards you. You're created last because you're the grand finale. Ki kulan lo nivro ela bishvilo, that all of them and everything was created for you. So now, so too, kach toraso lo nisparsha. So too, his Torah is not expounded until after. But what does that mean? Look at how he explains it. Kach toraso lo nisparsha. His Torah. Right? Not just his halachos that the Torah is presenting. his Torah, his chelak in Torah, is going to what? Lo nisparsha. What's the lomar? Lo nisparsha lamala. She yakubo perusha lamala lamala. His Torah. Right? Not just what the Torah, the halachos, his Torah, his halachos. His Torah, his influence, his impact. Your Torah means your chelak in molding the world. His Torah is going to be expounded achar Torahs behema chayv of. After the Torah of behema chayv of. What does that mean? What's a lomar? She attacking b'toraso kol shenev ro'u b'sheshes me'amasa. You know, like his perish on the world is going to determine was the world a great idea or not. How do you use the world? What are you going to do with these behema, chai, and oaf? What are you going to do with the world? What are you going to do with it? The way that you live it, the way that you expound it, the way that you interact with it, superficially or very pneumiastically, very purposefully. Kasher yomer ha-perish b'torah, kach yikuba lamalu lamata. You're going to be the influencer. It's a massive responsibility Hashem has placed on our shoulders. Being created b'tzelem elokim, right? Means Hashem says, I need you to mold the world through your Torah, through your mitzvot. Right? Adam was created b'tzelem elokim. What's the gematria of b'tzelem elokim? Is it b'tzelem elokim? Adam was created b'tzelem elokim. What's the gematria of tzelem? It's b'tzelem elokim. Adam was created. Pasuk says Hashem made Adam b'tzelem elokim. What's the gematria of b'tzelem elokim? B'Tselem Elokim is not 162. B'Tselem is 162?
Yeah, I think so.
B'Tselem is 162. And Elokim is 86. 162 and 86 is? 248, which is? 248, the Chazal say, the number of limbs in your body, so you're literally, you're built B'Tselem Elokim, right? And the number of mitzvos, the positive things that you can accomplish in this world. So being created b'tzelem elokim means what? That the mitzvot that you do, the ma'asim tovim that you do, the way that you use your body to interact with the world is going to determine your Torah, your life, is going to be a perish on all the animals, on all of creation. Every blade of grass is waiting for you to say, ah, this was a good idea. I exist for you. B'shvili nivra ha'olam. Okay? So that's part of the message that is somehow woven into the birth of every child. Right? And this is Isha ki sazriya v'yolda zachar. Right? When a woman gives birth, and she gives birth to a child. So every child is a new world, is a new opportunity to decide, am I going to make something of my world and the world? Or, God forbid, am I just going to be another beast created on planet Earth? All right. So, but let's try a short little piece. Let's turn to the piece, it's towards the, a lot of pieces here, but closer to the end. V'ish ki yimaret rosho. V'ish ki yimaret rosho.
Which
pasuk? It's Yud Gimel Mem. So you have the circle numbers?
Shin Pei Vav.
Shin Pei Vav. Yashukai Achikusio. Shin Pei Vav. Right. And it's really annoying when you're missing that last puzzle piece. Hey, you work so hard to put together this whole puzzle. Right. It's a great mashal. I like that mashal a lot. That's very good. Okay. Says the pasuk, describing a nesek. What is the nesek that we're going to encounter in this week's parsha? Rashi says in pasuk lamid, kach shemo shel negesh v'makom seya. When you have tzaras in the place of hair, it's called a nesek. Okay? So now, Pasuk Mem says, if a man, ish ki yimaret rosho, if a man is yimaret rosho, if a man loses the hair of his head, kereach hu, tahor hu. He's a kereach. Not kerach. Kerach is ice. It's not ice. When he loses his hair, he's a kereach. What's a kereach? He's a baldy. Kereachu is bald. Taharhu. Taharhu. And he is pure. A person loses the hair on his head, and he's bald, right? And he's pure from any nesek marks. He doesn't have any tsaras in the place of the hair. Okay, Ayin Sham, this week's parasha, for the many details of how the Tumah and Tahara of your hair works, and Tumah and Tahara of your skin works, and Tumah and Tahara of your house works, and Tumah and Tahara of your clothing works. Okay, very, very difficult details of indicating what's Tameh, what's Tar. But says our Rebbe, B'derech Drush, says our Rebbe, a person who loses his hair and is bald, the Pasuk says, is pure. So first of all, don't feel so bad for yourself as you get older and you start to lose your hair. Right? Being bald is a sign of purity, apparently. As the Pasuk says. It's a chizik. It's a chizik for a guy who starts to lose his hair. Right? He's very into his hair, he's busy with his hair, and then he starts, you know, he starts to get a little bald, and he's busy trying to hang on to whatever last bit of hair he's got left. You should get chizik from this Pasuk. If a man loses the hair on his head and he's bald, he's pure. But why is that? What is that? What is hair? Why do Hasidim shave their heads and just leave their payas? What are they, ant? It's a chatzitza. It's a chatzitza. It should be a chatzitza for you to wear your tefillin also.
It's a klipa.
Hair is associated with midas adin. It's something extra. It's something extraneous. Right? It's produced by... Where's your hair come from?
Your skin.
Your skin. Right?
A lot of keratin.
All right, so what is it, and what is its necessity? Why is there an Indian, right, of a nazir, you know, growing hair and then shaving hair, and what's the Indian of hair in Torah? Why do we find sometimes a person has to shave all the hair of his body and as part of his purification process? What is that? What's with hair? What do we have against hair? So take a look. Says the pasuk. V'ish ki yamarid rosho kereach utaru. Nir alomar gamkin al pipshuto. Maybe we could say just a simple pshat, a good musar, a simple message. Ki adam tzarech lekadesh atzmo afilu b'mutar lo. A person needs to sanctify himself in that which is permitted to him. Okay, right around the corner, coming to Parshas Kedoshim. Kedoshim to you, we're going to learn the famous Ramban. Mirtz Hashem. The very famous Ramban. The Rabbat says you can do everything in accordance with the halacha, and you could still be a low life. Not living a life of holiness. Because a person needs to be mekadesh himself to sanctify even that which is permitted. It could be a kosher meal, but I could eat it like an animal. Right? It could be a relationship that is mutar, and yet the way that, you know, the husband and wife are intimate with each other is still animalistic. It lacks a certain kedusha. So Hashem says there's forbidden things in the world. There's permitted pleasures of the world. But even that has to be done properly. Ramban says, well, again, we'll see it. We'll learn it inside. He calls them Naval Birshus HaTorah. You could be disgusting still within the permissibility of the Torah. A person could be a gluttonous person who eats the finest Heksher, but still is obsessed with food. A person can marry many wives, right, to fulfill all of his sexual desire. And it's all totally mutter. But is that a holy lifestyle? Where's the self-control? Okay, so a person could be within the boundaries of Torah, but not living a life of Kedusha. So says our Rebbe, says the more of a Shemesh, a person needs to be Mekadesh himself in that which is mutter to him. V'kol shekein shelo yis'ava lemosros. And not always need the extras. Not just mutar, but that which is moser. That which is extra. Right, do I always need the extras? I know I could buy the more expensive car. Do I need to buy the more expensive car? Do I need the extras? Or can I just pass melech teichel, mayim v'sura tishta? Can a person live a life of simplicity? Right? That doesn't mean don't have anything, don't enjoy this world. But do I always need the upgrade? Do I always need the better? Or can I just be happy with what I have? Because if I always need the upgrade, I'll never be happy. I'm always going to need something better. A person needs to have sipuk ha-nefesh to say, wow, thank you Hashem, I have what I need. We've seen this idea a number of times in Mor v'Shemesh. Hein b'ma'achalim, that's true when it comes to food. Right? It comes to food, we've made such an industry out of food. Do I really need to advertise, you know, your food's good, but this is even more gourmet, this is even better. It's not a Jewish thing. Throw away the extras in your life. Unload a little bit. They say from the Mor B'Shemesh's Rebbe, the Noam Elimelech, that when, you know, this imagery of when Mashiach comes, we're going to fly to Eretz Yisrael on Kanfei Nesharim, whether that means on the wings of eagles or whether that means airplanes, whatever it is, right? But there's an idea that I believe they say from the Noam Elimelech that if a person, you know, if a person tries to bring too many belongings with him to the Geula, right, so you're going to fall off the, you know, the excess baggage. It's gonna pull you down. It's gonna slow you down. You're gonna fall off the eagle's wings because you're carrying such a heavy backpack. You have to leave some stuff behind. Leave some of your nonsense behind. Leave some of it behind. Get it out. Get rid of some of the extra stuff. When I was zeichet to spend the Shabbos in Mezhvash, Gvaldik, with Rabbi Zriel and some other holy Jews. Such an awesome trip. So Shabbos in Mezhvash, I spoke Shalosh Shuvos then. We had Shalosh Shuvos in the Baal Shem Tov Shul. And Rav Mordechai Kaplan asked me to give over some Torah. So one of the things I said, everyone here has an achrayus. We came on this amazing tzaddikim trip, you know, walking in the footsteps of tzaddikim. We have to, there's makomos hakadoshim, right? But then there's like also just like a lot of like, just dead space, you know? Again, there's spots where tzaddikim were, you feel a certain positive energy. But then there's a lot of like, you know, schmutzy Europe that just needs to kind of be left behind. So I said, everyone here has to take something. You have to take something. I said, we came to take something back from Mezhvash. We all have different experiences that we're taking back. I said, we should all bury something in Mezhvash. I want you to like leave some mishigas, you know, some silliness. Leave it behind. Like just stick it in some simple, you know, farmer's field. Not physically. I was like unload some of your baggage here, you know. Sitting here in the base measures of the Baal Shem Tov, like throw away some garbage that like you don't need it here. Like leave it outside, you know? Leave it outside. Come to the Rebbe's Ola, you know? Take your shoes off. I'm saying like your shoes are, leave some of your dirt behind, leave some of your junk behind. It's a very important idea. So that's what he's saying here. Lahash the chamosos. Throw away the extras. You don't need so much stuff. You'd be happier if you had less stuff in your life. We know that the hair of the head is the excess of the body. So that's what we find with the Kohanim and the Levium, part of their becoming purification process, right, is to remove their hair. Laharos she'enim rotzim b'mosros. To say that I'm an Eved Hashem, I don't need the extra stuff. I don't need the extra stuff. Ragdei hasipuk bilvad. It's enough to have what I have. V'kol shekein, b'shiyam married rosha legamri. So a bald person, you know, who's bald. You know, who's called Baldy and Shas. You know, who got the nickname Baldy. Who? Alicia. Alicia Navi. I'm saying Shas. Who in Shas? Who is called the Kerech? Who's called the bald guy?
Shas.
Yeah, Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva's Baldy. Called him Baldy. That means baldy is a compliment. Baldy means that what? That I gave up all the extra. I don't have any extra in my life. Everything in my life is with the cheshvan. Everything is precise and calculated. The kol shekein b'shiyam married rosha legamre shelo yitzmachu od. When a person is bald, again, you can spend your life trimming, trying to get rid of the extra stuff, but then it gets to a point where it just stops growing. You got rid of it completely. Right? Again, I know we don't choose when we lose our hair. But it's a siman tov ba'adam. It's a good sign. It's a good sign, he says. Shehishlech kol ha-moitzos yimenu al-kenu siman tov. Again, I know the biological becoming bald is not something we choose per se. Right? But the idea of bald, he's saying, as alluded to in our pasuk, what does the pasuk say? Kereyachu taro. In other words, a sign of tara in life is just unloading all the extras of your life. It could be emotional baggage that you're schlepping around. It could be other things. It could be physical objects that are just cluttering your life. I've been feeling this a lot. I look at my svarim sometimes, holy svarim, and I sometimes think, I have too many svarim. It causes too much spiritual clutter in my life. They're all holy, but it becomes. I'm not sure what I'm learning because I'm learning too many things. What sefer am I learning? What sugi am I learning? What am I doing? Right? Maybe it's too much. Maybe I'm involved in too many things. Right, so being bald, being, you know, Yaakov versus Esav. Yaakov is called an Ishtam. Esav is what? A hairy man. The Medrash paints a mashal of what? Famous Medrash in Parshas Toldos. The mashal of a bald guy and a hairy guy standing by the threshing floor. The hairy guy gets all verschmutzed because what? All the junk that's flying as they're crushing and threshing the wheat, all the junk gets stuck in his hair. It's hard to get it out. The bald guy, if he gets some dirt on his head, what does he do? He takes a little cloth, wipes right off. Good to go. Other guy, right? Asa's busy. He's got to rinse, lather, and repeat to get all the junk out of his hair, you know? So less is more. That's what our Rebbe is telling us, and it's alluded to again, B'derach Drush in this pasuk. Yeah. Right. Avshalom is right. How often is the hair the undoing of a person, right? Right, Shimshon, his hair. Yeah, hair is not a simple thing. Hair is not a simple thing. Why is the beard chashir, the payas? Okay, good, I'll pick a ball, and there's all sorts of explanations for that. Right, but it's clear that growing your hair over here, right, is very often a sign of, you know, self-beautification. The person's very busy combing their hair. And okay. Yeah. Yeah, so there is a
piss or no piss or no beard, like why are they not beard?
Right, so that's a good question, right? When the Torah calls for a mitzvah to shave the body, right? There are times when the Torah commands us to remove all the hair. Right? So how does that work in terms of piss and the like? I guess it's a say do chalos asay. Right? The asay of
it's a razor too.
Yeah, no, it's real shaving. Yeah. Interesting thing. It shows that even the hair that's holy and permitted can sometimes, you know, need to be removed. Yeah. Ari Elisha.
Where does it say that Kohanim are clean shaven?
It doesn't say that Kohanim are clean shaven, but like you just described here, right? That part of the inauguration of a Kohen is the removal of the hair. And removing the hair of the body means all the hair of the body. So this notion of removing all hair means removing all extras of my life. Very interesting idea. All right, Chavar, I know it's a little late, but very quickly, I got to show you Mitzorah. It's too good to pass up. So let's run to Parshas Mitzorah quickly. We'll do the piece quickly. Perek Yudalit Pasuk Gimel. There's only one piece on Parshas Mitzorah. We'll take a quick look, and then we're back to the eighth parak of. We come back to the eighth parak of Gittin. Okay, Parshas Mitzorah begins by Yedaber Hashem al Moshe Lemur. Zois Tiat Torah HaMitzorah B'yom Tarasov V'hu Bal HaKohen. This is the law of the Mitzorah on the day of his purification. He shall be brought to the Kohen. V'yotza HaKohen HaMichutz L'machana. The Kohen will go outside the camp to take a look at this guy, because the person is sitting outside the Machana as a possible Mitzorah. V'ra HaKohen V'nei Nirpa Negat Tzeras Min HaTzeruah. And the Kohen takes a look and he sees that indeed this fellow, in fact, has saras. Right? No, I'm sorry. I'm totally saying this backwards. This is when he's coming back to the camp. Right? The Kohen comes to look at him after he's had saras. The Kohen looks, vihinei, and behold, nirpa nega hatzaras min hatzarua. Interesting lashon. From the one who had saras, he has now been healed of his saras. Okay? He's being invited back into the camp. Says the Rebbe, Yesh ledakte ktevas vihinei. What's the vihinei? And behold. It's like, vihinei is usually something surprising. He's surprised? What, he thought this guy's going to have tzaras forever? Kohen is happy for him? What's going on here? Vihinei. What's the vihinei? What do you need that for? Shehayah lo lomar. It should have just said, V'ra Kohen shenirpa. The Kohen saw that he's been healed. Vihinei. Behold, he's been healed. Right? What's this dramatic vihinei? So he explains the following. We find an interesting and paradoxical, counterintuitive reality when it comes to saras, as the Orachaim and others explained. Shirefuas hamitzora tluya dafka behesker uviyashiva michutz lamachana. That the healing of this sarua is dafka by quarantining and seating himself outside of the camp. Lahodia she'ena chola v'refuaso tluya b'teva. You know what that indicates to us? Like we were learning yesterday in Ramban? that tsaras is not a natural illness. You know, one of the worst things for a person who's sick is to be alone, is to feel isolated. You know how bad that is for his mental, emotional, and physical health to be so painfully isolated? So why is it that the healing process of tsaras is go be by yourself, go sit alone? Now again, we understand part of the midah keneged midah. What's the midah keneged midah? You spoke lashon hara and you caused pirud between people, separation between people. You created fight, you caused machlokas. Right? You created distance between people, so your punishment is you have to be distanced. But to think that he's going to go into a place of such utter despair and loneliness and that's going to be a fixing, that's counterintuitive. Look at the words again. Refuas ha-metzora tluya dafka behesker uvi yeshiva chotla machana. He comes to a refuah dafka by being isolated. Lahudia, that comes to send a clear message, she'ein ha-chol ha-verfu'aso tluya beteva, that this illness and its healing is not a natural thing. Ki miteva ha-cholas ha-metzora, because a person who has, a normal illness, hu ipash hadam ki yadua, tsaras, or other forms of what? Other forms of skin deformations or illnesses comes about from an ipush hadam. Ipush means a certain, ipush in modern Hebrew means like moldy or smelly, right? It's like the blood is rotting. His blood is not flowing properly. Something's going on that it's causing some type of, you know, dermatological issue. Vizebala adam me'atas u'marashchor. It's like a person, it's very true. Speak to a dermatologist. Right. Person comes to the doctor and says, "Doc, I broke out with this like crazy rash." Doctor says, "Are you under a lot of stress?" That's from stress. Right. That's caused by stress. Right. So we know medically that there are skin conditions that are caused by what? By negative emotions, by bad feelings, by stress, by depression. Marashchor means depression, literally black bile, but that's a code word for depression, for sadness. Right, the panim and the panim, right. So therefore, you would think in such. Oh, sorry, skipped the line. You would think we should treat it naturally. Yes, Jake. What can I do for you?
I'm a little confused with this whole idea because yeah. I think at first glance, when someone has a natural illness, quarantine them. You know what I'm saying? You're thinking of something
contagious.
Yeah, whatever.
So you're thinking of trying to protect them from spreading it.
Yeah.
Right. But I'm talking about person who's going through an illness, the last thing they want to feel, right? We got to beaker cholim. We got to visit these people. We got to cheer them up. We can't have this person feel like he's just, you know, stranded all alone in the hospital. That's very, very bad for a person's mental health and one's mental and emotional state. And there are real scientific studies on this. Plays a massive role in one's body's physical ability to heal. Positive thinking plays a major role in physical healing. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, there's something. Yeah, there's something. They right. Also, something about being distanced in that way.
Also, another thing is that if they're sent off and they realize how bad it is, the goal could be for them to learn a lesson, not to be in that same situation.
Yeah. No, those are all true reasons why we, you know, send away the. It's part of the. It's very much part of the lesson. He has to contemplate what he did wrong, and maybe it'll save him from a certain embarrassment. Maybe there's a bracha in disguise here. Okay, but again, if we're dealing with a natural illness, this is not the right approach. What is the right approach? Okay, don't laugh at this next line. The right approach is lasok bisamim hamisamchem oso. He should do drugs that make him feel good. He should be involved in samim, in medicines. We'll use the word medicine as opposed to drugs. That cause him happiness, that lift his spirits. Got to cheer him up. Medical marijuana, yeah, maybe. Veleshe besod hamesachim, and we should bring him all sorts of entertainment. We don't want the old ladies in the nursing home to just sit around by themselves all day. That's not good for their health. So we gotta bring the kids from the Jewish schools, and they'll put on a little performance for the bubbies and the zadies, and it'll cheer them up. Let them sit with the performers. Being isolated is incredibly sad and depressing. So therefore, Hashem said, right, that's why tzaras, I'm going to show you, is a counterintuitive experience because it's not a physical experience. It's a spiritual experience. Okay, so it has the opposite properties of what you would expect for a person who is going through a medical condition. Okay, but now, explains our Rebbe, so that's based on the Orach Chaim HaKadosh. So explains our Rebbe, V'nira li liten tzad l'devrein, but let me explain the drop further, he says. Ki bevadai refuas ha-metzora hu ikar tluya b'tshuva shleima v'aziva sachet lagamri. This guy did a terrible thing. He did the biggest avera. Lashon Hara is the biggest avera. Chazal say, just like Talmud Torah, using your speech for good is the greatest mitzvah, Lashon Hara k'neged kulam. He did the biggest avera. He needs a big tshuva. He needs to abandon this avera completely. U'bevadai midarchei ha-tshuva lios libo nishbar ma'od machmas merira sachet. And real tshuva means, like we learned yesterday, Aaron HaKohen, he saw the eagle everywhere he went because he owned his sin. He felt terrible about what he did. Real shviras halev, real brokenheartedness, real bitterness. How did I do that avera? Not to give himself a free pass. Ubavade kasha'odim misbodid levado, yuchalafashesh v'maisav hetev. Right? Like Arya said, when a person's sitting alone, he has time to think, contemplate what he did. Ulishabr libo be'emes, and to come to a real sense of recognition, to be truly brokenhearted, v'achna gedola, with great humility, v'zeo taraso. And that's a very cleansing process. That's a healing process. Being able to sit alone and to talk to Hashem, Spodinus, to be able to get away from the noise of the world, to disconnect, to shut off your cell phone, to go out to a spot, and or not even go out to a spot, to go into a spot, sit in your dorm room and just, you know, shut your computer, shut your phone, and have a few minutes of just being in your own head. It's healing, it's cleansing. But the problem is, but sometimes, the danger of being brokenhearted is that what? There's a fine line, as Rabbi Nachman speaks very often, the fine line between what? Shviras halev, which is very holy, and marashchor, depression, which is terrible. Brokenheartedness in a way that inspires me to grow versus depression, which gets me stuck in my misery. Because that's the nature of a person. Again, if I become so brokenhearted, I fall to despair. But says our Rebbe, if you're doing it right, and if there's a real sense, right, a real sense of what? Of humility before one's creator. And a real sense of Hashem, I want to do better. When you're a kid, you think Yom Kippur is a scary and sad day. When you grow up spiritually, you realize Yom Kippur is the most joyous day of all. That doesn't mean it's not a heavy day. That doesn't mean you don't cry in Yom Kippur. That doesn't mean you don't experience a lot of brokenheartedness in Yom Kippur. But it's through that shivron halev, that shviras halev, that a person comes to what? To an unbelievable closeness, kirvas elokim, which creates the greatest simcha in the world. Ki adua mizar kadosh, that's what the Zohar says on Ivduas Hashem b'simcha. That a person can come to great simcha, again, even through a cheshbon nefesh and through tshuva. So it concludes our Rebbe. Aval zoi sabachina eino meivin adam al atzmo, velo shum adam acher, im yesh la adam bal tshuva simcha. But usually, it's hard for someone else to know how you're really feeling. It's hard to know. It's a very private experience. The joy that one gets of fixing his averos. It's very hard to know what's really going on inside. Does this guy, you know, he looks all bent out of shape about his avera. It's hard to express the joy, though, that comes from knowing that I'm working on myself, I'm fixing myself. However, a tzaddik can sometimes look at a person, and a tzaddik says, I see, I'm proud of you. I can see that you're going through the painful process of tshuva, but I see that it's working. And the tzaddik can recognize the simcha. Or if a person does this for a long time in a real way, as I margish gam kim bevo ha-simcha v'libo be'ez tshuvas or ha-masa b'achna gemura, he's able to get to that point of simcha, and maybe even to radiate some of that simcha. The Baal Tshuva, who is very proud to tell his story, when he was going through it, he was very embarrassed of his story. But now he feels, I want to share my story, because I've really grown. So now we understand. This guy, he comes back to the camp and he meets up with who? His spiritual therapist, also known as the Kohen. That's what the pasuk means. V'yatza kohen. The kohen comes out, v'ra'a, and he looks deeply at this Jew. V'hine. What's this word, v'hine? And behold. Says the Medrash, v'hine Aaron achicha. V'ra'acha v'samach b'libo. And behold, your brother Aaron will go out to meet you, Moshe, and he's going to be overjoyed in his heart. Says the Medrash, v'hine is a code word for simcha. Shara Kohen, when the Kohen sees that you've done the proper work of his bodhis, you made a real cheshbon and nefesh, you had a real shriyas halev, you humbled yourself before Hashem, you made a real commitment, I'm not going to speak badly about my fellow Jews anymore. I'm not going to be a baal lashon hara. The Kohen looks at you and he says, ah, v'hinei, look at that guy. Wow, what a simcha. Da'inu zeh metzora nishra libo bekirbo kokach, at sheba gam kein l'simcha machmas tshuva. He reached that higher level of tshuva, which leads a person to real simcha. Not embarrassment over his averos. He worked through it. That's a sign. Oh, it's near pahanega. That's a sign that the tzaras has truly been healed. The same way he's radiating joy, Hashem is probably joyous, feels good towards him. He's done a proper tshuva. So realize that, again, real tshuva doesn't bring a person to sadness. Real tshuva brings a person to happiness. And the fact that we isolate this fellow, right? Use that isolation as an opportunity to grow. There's times in life when you're going to be lonely. Don't miss that opportunity, you know? Like Rebbetzin Henny Machlis used to say, if you're cutting onions and you start to cry, turn those tears into something. You say, what do you mean? Those are not real tears. They're tears from cutting an onion. Turn it into something. There's times where you're going to be alone, right? So make it. You don't have to have tzaras to have a tzaras experience. Use that loneliness as a means of opening up your heart, getting close to Hashem, doing deep tshuva, deep cleansing, and feel the incredible joy that comes with that. Okay, we should be zeichah. Okay, shkoyach. Yeah.